Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. The first recorded single song to be certified gold received that honor on this very day back in 1958. Which song received that distinction as the first certified gold single? Was it A, Perry Como's Catch a Falling Star? Was it B, Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel? Was it C, the Everly Brothers' Kathy's Clown? Or was it D, the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand? The certified gold single, the very first one, 1958. Which song was that? And question number two, Billboard magazine began listing their top albums chart today. Back in which decade? Was it A, the 1940s, B, the 1950s, C, the 1960s, or D, the 1970s? The first listing of a top albums chart by Billboard magazine. Which decade was that? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is March 13th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1804, that composer Johann Strauss I was born. Strauss was also known as Johann Strauss Sr., the elder, the father. This Austrian Romantic composer is perhaps best known for his waltzes, paving the way for his sons to carry on his dynasty. Born this day, back in 1804. And it was 16 years ago today, 2004, that Luciano Pavarotti gave his final opera performance at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. He still had concerts planned up through October 12, 2005. Pavarotti was an Italian operatic tenor who crossed over into popular music, becoming one of the most commercially successful tenors of all time. His last performance at the Metropolitan Opera was on this very day, back in 2004. I got a pistol and I got a bullet and a pissed off finger just itching to pull it. The only thing keeping me from losing my head. 'Cause I hate stripes and orange ain't my color. And if I squeeze that trigger tonight, I'll be wearing one or the other. There's no crime of passion worth a crime of fashion. The only thing saving your life is that I don't look good in orange and I hate stripes. Brandi Clark, Stripes, introduces our country music news. It's an article titled, No One Is Writing Better Country Songs Than Brandi Clark Is. This is published in The New Yorker on the 6th of March, 2020, by David Cantwell. Three songs into a set last month in Wichita, Kansas, the country singer-songwriter Brandi Clark issued a neighborly warning to the people in the audience, most of whom had come to see the night's headliner, Tanya Tucker, and may have heard Clark's name for the first time just a few moments before when she was introduced over the loudspeaker. I hope you're not offended easily, Clark said, smiling. Then she launched into a story song about a woman with whom most of those present seemed to be on quite familiar terms. She hates her job, loves her kids, Clark sang. Bored with her husband, tired of the same old list of things to do. To unwind at the end of another tedious day, this woman sits down and, quote-unquote, rolls herself a fat one. And then on to the chorus, sometimes the only way to get by is to get high. Perhaps someone at the show was offended, but mostly I saw knowing nods, and as the song went on, more and more people singing along. Get High is from Clark's debut album, 12 Stories, which was released in 2013.
Orange ain't my color.
The rest of the Wichita set was largely devoted to songs from her new album, Your Life is a Record, which is out this week. She played the rowdy revenge fantasy, Long Walk, which had the crowd laughing at its wicked punchlines, and Who You Thought I Was, a song that turns unexpectedly from childhood dreams to adult regrets, and which prompted people to lean forward to hear every word. Clark has been winning new fans this way for years, one catchy, finely chiseled song at a time. With any luck or justice, the lonely and lustrous country pop of Your Life is a Record will earn her many more. But her previous album should have been a smash, too. Big Day in a Small Town from 2016 is terrific, and its lead single, Girl Next Door, couldn't have been more perfect for radio, with hooks and beats and stacked rhymes, except that over the past decade, country radio has mostly exiled songs with ambivalent or outright unhappy endings, especially when a woman's voice is singing them. According to the musicologist Jada Watson, in 2018, the ratio of men's records to women's that were played on country radio was nearly 10 to 1. Brandi Clark is something of a critical darling. Her first two albums generated 5 Grammy nominations, but a lot of people, including a lot of country fans, have never heard of her. Country music, both as a genre and as a radio format, exists with a maddening contradiction for nearly a decade now. Women have been practically excluded from mainstream country radio playlists, even as the lion's share of the best country music is increasingly written and performed by women, and no one illustrates that better than Clark, who writes songs as well as anyone. Clark, who is 44 and grew up in the tiny lumber town of Morton, Washington, built her reputation by writing songs for other artists, often in Nashville's collaborative way. She co-wrote the gothic melodrama Better Dig 2, Miranda Lambert's Mama's Broken Heart. She also co-wrote Leanne Rimes' Crazy Women, Reba McEntire's The Day She Got Divorced, and Casey Musgrave's Follow Your Arrow. Clark's songs have been cut by everyone from George Strait and Toby Keith to Darius Rucker and Sheryl Crow. Clark writes most often about luckless characters, women usually, who are struggling, PO'd, or both. The issues at hand are typically working class and kitchen table. Many are about the melodramas that go down in rural places where nothing much seems to be going on. The woman in 3 Kids, No Husband has long ago dumped any dreams she might have had to make it big. Now she just hopes she can make it. Clark's songs capture the routine frustrations and indignities of life in America among the white working class, and although her tone is never bitter or mocking, she doesn't deny the ironies and absurdities of that life either. We load our kids up in our new used car, and after church we hit the mini-mart, she sings in Pray to Jesus, one of her debut's sharpest numbers. In the chorus, she sings about the only two ways we can change tomorrow, praying to Jesus and playing the lotto. The details in Clark's songs reveal how material conditions inform You Just Can't Win world views. On Bad Car, from the new album, she sings, It always needs a jump. It always needs Freon. Yeah, there's death and taxes and the check engine light blinking on. The title of 12 Stories seems to nod to 12 Songs, Randy Newman's second album, from 1970. On the new record, Clark duets with Newman on a song called Bigger Boat, a jaunty ship of state satire where, quote unquote, we keep waiting on the wind to blow, and no one can agree on who should be the captain. We're either all the way left or all the way right. The only time we meet is the middle of the fight. Clark sings, the rich get richer, the rest get a little more broke. We're going to need a bigger boat.
They'll all make sense when they're together. If your life is a record, I'll be the sad song, your good love gone bad song, part of your heart that's bittersweet.
Couldn't be your... The new album's opener, I'll Be the Sad Song, playing in the background now. A just lovely bit of personal heartbreak that, typical of her approach, Clark presents as a bittersweet sing-along. It's about how we all mark our lives by songs we've loved. Near its end, a dobro conjures an unexpected Beatles-esque lick and then dissolves to silence. Horns, maybe lifted off some old Dionne Warwick record, emerge and quickly disappear. Your songs may vary. All of Clark's albums have terrific songs, but Your Life is a Record is the best-sounding album that she's released. Maybe that great sound will help the album break through. Last week, 5 of the top 20 spots on Billboard's Country Airplay chart were held by women. It should have been more, but then there was a week a little more than a year ago when the number was 0. With a deck that's stacked against them, it's a wonder people know any women country artist at all, even ones as good as Clark. Beethoven's For Elise and Fifth Symphony introduce our classical music news. It's an article entitled Ode to Beethoven, and it's published in The Economist on the 5th of November, 2019. The World in 2020. We should all learn from Ludwig van Beethoven in 2020, the year of his 250th anniversary, says Ivan Fischer, music director of the Budapest Festival Orchestra, an honorary conductor of Concerthauser Orchester, Berlin. Although played piano for a few hours every day until shortly before her death at 94, my lovely aunt Amalia could not feel much enthusiasm for Beethoven's music. Her adoration was reserved for Mozart and Schubert, whom she worshipped with an almost religious devotion, but she often shook her head when our Ludwig was the topic of discussion around our dinner table. Aunt Amalia had a fine taste in music, literature, and visual arts, and those standards were not quite met by problematic Ludwig. She was hopelessly conservative. But Beethoven, the greatest musical giant of our European cultural heritage, appeals to others, for example, to Alex, the violent gang leader in the novel and film A Clockwork Orange. The criminal adolescent's passion is shared by millions of people all over the world who rush to the concert halls to make this composer the safest box office attraction of the classical music business. Now that we prepare to celebrate the 250th anniversary of his birth, a pilgrimage can be expected in the year ahead to exhibitions, festive concerts, symphony cycles, complete performances of his 32 piano sonatas, and other Beethoven marathons from his birthplace in Bonn to all the continents around the globe. Why is Beethoven so popular? The French Revolution and the collapse of the old world order needed a genius to formulate the transition to a new mindset. Although Beethoven was financially supported by a group of philanthropic Viennese aristocrats, his music did not return their generosity. He was free, the first free composer whose works expressed the exhilaration and excitement of the crowd that had stormed the Bastille. He changed the function of music, which until his radiant emergence had served the ruling classes. Before, in the 18th century, kings and dukes competed by employing larger and larger orchestras to glorify them. Artists had the task of serving the social system of hierarchy. The lower classes cultivated peasant songs and peasant dances, whereas aristocrats distinguished themselves by the fine taste that was the essence of the works of their court artist. Then came Beethoven, with his new interest, the human soul. Unrestrained feelings filled his works, passion, love, and yes, hate and aggression, too. Music became an expression of the human psyche, of our deepest instincts. Innovators are not always perfectionists. They tend to concentrate on what is new, often neglecting other aspects of their craft. Beethoven was an exception. A glimpse at his manuscripts, full as they are of scratches and alterations, proves that he found it difficult to be satisfied. I believe he wanted to be as perfect as his idol, Mozart, was, and that he had the ambition to be considered a similarly great craftsman. This goal was certainly achieved. There is not a single note in Beethoven's compositions that is not the best choice. His genius is beyond doubt. Having an intemperate character did not make immaculate, detailed work easy. He surely envied Mozart, whose music seemed effortless, as if dictated by a divine inspiration. Beethoven had no such luck. He struggled for every note, but the result is absolute perfection, coupled with an entirely new intensity. Fire was his element. Prometheus, his god. Like the Titan who represented us with the ability to make fire, Beethoven gave humanity another huge gift, the simple melody in his Ninth Symphony that rightly became the hymn of the European Union. His message, "You millions, I embrace you. This kiss is for all the world," should be a compass for all generations. All people become brothers. Today, our society is experiencing its own transition. We must change if we want to preserve our planet and if we want to avoid devastating conflicts. We need new values, human values, emotional values, to replace our desire to own too many goods. Beethoven can help by teaching us how to embrace millions. He leads us to a free future with no city walls, national borders, or tribal conflicts. He introduces us to each other and reminds us that we all sing together in his choral symphony. So please, take part in the celebrations of his 250th birthday. Instead of checking your emails, listen to the Pastoral Symphony's second movement. Take time and focus on what you hear, like spending a few moments looking at a beautiful tree. There is no better meditation exercise. It lasts only 12 minutes, but it will change your life. Nielsen's All I Think About Is You introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article, a column actually, called Music Podcast, and it's published in Rolling Stone magazine, January 2020 issue. And this particular podcast called Final Sessions, Harry Nilsson's cult of fans and his influence on other artists have only grown since his death in 1994. Former Rolling Stone editor Joe Levy tells the story of Lost and Found, an album of material recorded just before Nilsson's death, taking time out for fascinating asides, including Nilsson's boozy friendship with John Lennon.
Dreammaker, heartbreaker, how can dreams come true?
Adele's Love Song introduces our upcoming local music concert. This is put out by Pinecone.org. Shelby Ray Moore, coming up Sunday, April 19th at 3 p.m., Daniels Auditorium, NC Museum of History, 5 East Denton Street, Raleigh. At barely 20 years of age, Shelby Ray Moore has been wowing audiences for years with her voice, style, poise, stage presence, and repertoire. Having grown up in a musical family, she began singing at a very early age and has evolved into a seasoned professional. She has the uncommon ability to move effortlessly between genres, including blues, rock, country, bluegrass, and pop. Her influences range from Jerry Reed to Bonnie Raitt to Etta James to Adele. Free tickets can be reserved in advance. A limited number of tickets will be available day of show on a first-come, first-served basis, beginning at 2 p.m. Street parking is free on the weekends in downtown Raleigh, and the lots across Wilmington Street from the museum is also free on the weekend. Wheelchairs for interior use are available free of charge at the museum information desk. The museum entrance closest to the auditorium is a staircase that leads up to glass doors on Edenton Street. Large print program notes and assistive listening devices will be available at this concert. Please call us at 919-664-8333 with any questions about accessibility. So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, the first recorded single song to be certified gold received that honor on this very day back in 1958. Which song received that distinction as the first certified gold single? Was that A, Perry Como's Catch a Falling Star, B, Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel, C, the Everly Brothers' Kathy's Clown, or D, the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand? Correct answer? Answer A, Perry Como's Catch a Falling Star. As noted in songfacts.com, this song was written by the same writing team that also wrote Brian Hyland's 1960 hit Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. When Perry Como recorded this song, he was already a very popular star. In fact, the crooner with a relaxed style was one of the highest-paid performers of his era, and his Perry Como Show was the most successful television variety show of the time in both Britain and America. Como sang this song on his show in January of 1958, and its exposure contributed to the tune's success. This was the first ever record certified by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA, as gold for selling over a million copies, and on March the 14th, 1958, the first ever gold record was officially presented to Como. Although this song became the first to win million sellers certification, Other songs dating as far back as the 1920s did sell over 1 million records or more. Indeed, there were incidents of record companies spraying records gold and awarding them to artists. For instance, in February of 42, RCA gave Glenn Miller a, quote-unquote, gold record to acknowledge 1 million sales for Chattanooga Choo Choo. However, due to a lack of a certification organization such as the RIAA, they were unofficial awards. By the way, Perry Como also won the 1958 Grammy Award for Best Male Vocal Performance for this song. And the answer to our second question, Billboard magazine began listing their top albums chart today back in which decade? Was that A, the 1940s, B, the 1950s, C, the 1960s, or D, the 1970s? Correct answer. Answer A, 1940s. By the way, the first number one album appearing on their list was titled The Nat King Cole Trio. As noted in YouDiscoverMusic.com on March 24, 2017, in October 1944, Capitol released the first King Cole Trio album. The 478 RPM records housed in an album comprised 8 songs. Body and Soul, Easy Listening Blues, Embraceable You, It's Only a Paper Moon, Prelude in C-sharp minor, Sweet Lorraine, The Man I Love, and What Is This Thing Called Love? It was to prove to be an historic album as it topped the very first Billboard best-selling popular record albums chart in March of 1945. These 78 RPM albums were so named because they collected together 4 shellac discs that had the appearance of a photo album. Today, despite having gone through long playing records, cassettes, CDs, and now downloads, we still call them albums. And Nat King Cole was the first to top the charts. So let's close out today's program with Nat King Cole proclaiming, "The party's over."
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. They've burst your pretty balloon and taken the moon away. It's time to wind up.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.
The party is over. It's all over.